Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's Cale Clark. So good to be with you for another week. It is Monday. It is March the 14th. Hey, it's Pi Day. 314, 3.14. How about that? And by the way, here's some other numbers for you. 1-888-914-9149. That's the toll-free studio line for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149. You can call in and talk to me for free. You can also email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Well, not only is it Pi Day for all you scientific and mathematical types out there, it's also Einstein's birthday. Did you know that? He was born on this day in 1879. And speaking of brainiacs, here are another couple of brainiacs for you. Lex Fridman and Mark Zuckerberg. Yep. Zuckerberg was recently on Lex Fridman's very, very popular podcast. And if you don't know who Lex Fridman is, let me tell you, he is a computer scientist. He works in the field of AI, artificial intelligence. He's a researcher. He currently teaches at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I bet he knows about Pi, and things are way more complicated concepts than that. He also has one of the world's most popular podcasts, and he has interviewed some really heavy hitters over the years. Elon Musk, Jack Dorsey, who founded Twitter, Richard Dawkins, some pretty big names. And he recently had Mark Zuckerberg on his podcast. And if you really want the deep dive, this thing's about 2 hours long, this interview that he did with Zuck. But what's of note to us today on the show is they got into some, with apologies to Meta, which is what Zuckerberg is now calling Facebook. He's kind of made the parent company of that Meta, as you know. And they got a little metaphysical, if you'll pardon my lame attempt at humor here. They started talking about some pretty deep stuff towards the end of the interview. And they started talking about God, eternity, all kinds of cool stuff. I want to play this back for you. This is what Zuckerberg had to say about the question of mortality, the brevity of life. Listen to this. This is the Lex Fridman podcast. And you spell his name, by the way, F-R-I-D-M-A-N. Check him out interviewing Mark Zuckerberg.
Does it freak you out that it's finite, though? That there's a deadline when it's all over, and that there'll be a time when your daughters are around and you're gone?
I don't know. No, that doesn't freak me out. I think constraints are helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, the finiteness is makes ice cream taste more delicious somehow. The fact that it's going to be over. There's something about that with the metaverse, too. You want, we talked about this identity earlier, like having just one, like NFTs. There's something powerful about the constraint of finiteness or uniqueness, that this moment is singular in history.
Yeah, I really think this is an interesting question. And being that it's Lent, we're thinking a lot about our own mortality in Lent, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. This idea that there are only so many trips that we get around the sun. We need to understand the brevity of life. You know, the Bible talks a lot about that. This idea that, as one scripture says, teach me to number my days aright so that I may gain a heart of wisdom. That's really what it's all about. And I like what Zuckerberg said there, actually. He said constraints are helpful. This idea that our time here is finite. You only have one shot at this. So we've really got to live it well. We've really got to live it well. So I thought that was an interesting little takeaway from their interview. But they also started talking about what happens after you die. Now check this out. This is Lex Fridman interviewing Mark Zuckerberg on his podcast. Check this out.
If at the moment of your death, and by the way, I like that the lights went out when we start talking about death, you get to meet
God. It does make it a lot more dramatic.
It does. I should get closer to the mic. At the moment of your death, you get to meet God, and you get to ask one question. What question would you like to ask? Or maybe a whole conversation. I don't know. It's up to you. It's more dramatic when it's just one question.
Well, if it's only one question and I died,
yeah.
I would just want to know that Priscilla and my family, like, if they were going to be okay. That might depend on the circumstances of my death, but I think that in most circumstances that I can think of, that's probably the main thing that I would care about.
Yeah, I think God would hear that question and be like, all right, fine, you get in. That's the right question to ask.
Is it? I don't know.
The humility and selfishness. Well, all right, you're in.
I mean, but, well, maybe.
They're going to be fine. Don't worry, you're okay. In.
Well, that's a really good question to ask. And in the video version of this podcast, which you can find on YouTube, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. You can see Zuckerberg's face, like he's really pondering this question. He's really thinking hard about this. And I don't know that he spent too much time thinking about it, given his answer. Although, as Fridman points out, his response is somewhat selfless. He's worried about Priscilla, his wife. He's worried about his daughters. Will they be okay? But what about you, listening today to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio? If you could ask God one question, what would that be? What would that be if you're going to stand before him at the end of your life? 888-914-9149. I remember when I was a student, and I've talked about this before, how at the time I was an agnostic. I was spiritually kind of searching. I was a cradle Catholic, but basically a C-no, Catholic in name only. And some guys from a local Baptist church were out evangelizing the student community where I was going to school at the time at Illinois State University. And they handed me this pamphlet. And the first question on the pamphlet, this religious pamphlet that they gave me, which was really a Bible tract. If you were to die tonight and stand before Almighty God, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? So God having a question for us as well. That's an interesting concept as well. But Zuckerberg went on to say in this interview that before he had a family, he said that basically his work was the most important thing in his life. Running the enterprise of Facebook, which is now called Meta, was the most meta thing in his life. Not anymore. He said it was the only thing he cared about. But now that he has a family, now that he's married, he's much more concerned about them. And so I just thought that was kind of an interesting insight into what he was thinking. And then they started talking about the real world versus the virtual world and whether or not you can actually demarcate like a big difference between the two. So once again, this is on the Lex Fridman podcast as he's interviewing Mark Zuckerberg. Check out Zuckerberg and Fridman talking about that. Here it is.
I suppose that's the dream of the metaverse, is to connect, form small groups like that where you can have those intimate relationships. Let me ask you the big ridiculous...
Well, and to be able to be close, not just based on who you happen to be next to. I think that's what the internet is already doing, is allowing you to spend more of your time not physically proximate. I mean, I always think when you think about the metaverse, people ask this question about the real world. It's like, do you, the virtual world versus the real world? And it's like, no, the real world is a combination of the virtual world and the physical world. But I think over time, as we get more technology, the physical world is becoming less of a percent of the real world. And I think that that opens up a lot of opportunities for people because, you know, you can work in different places. You can stay closer to people who are in different places.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
Removing barriers of geography and then barriers of language. That's a beautiful vision.
Yeah, I think there was an interesting comment that was made there in that exchange. The real world, quote unquote, real world, whatever that may be, is a combination of the virtual world and the physical world. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. If you want to react to any of this, I'm talking about the really interesting interview that podcaster Lex Fridman did with Mark Zuckerberg. So talk about the sort of what are the limitations of the physical world, the virtual world. One of the things that Zuckerberg said was that the physical world is becoming less of a percentage of the quote-unquote real world. Why? Because people are spending more time online. And it's not that you're not having conversations with real people online. You certainly are, whether you're emailing them, whether you're texting them, whether you're interacting on social media, or heaven forbid, in the metaverse. And by the way, I have no desire whatsoever to strap an Oculus onto my head and wander around and play games and have cartoonish avatars and fake office meetings that way. I'm not interested in that at all. Zoom is bad enough. But you know, there are some benefits to this for sure. And that's something that's obviously been what we had to discover out of necessity during the pandemic, this idea of remote work. It's not all bad. I mean, when your commute consists of, walking down the stairs into your basement office, and keeping your pajama bottoms on while you're doing your meeting, there's some benefits to that. You're saving tons of money on gas, right? And certainly it's pretty expensive these days, right? So there's that. It's not like you can't still communicate with people. And in many ways, communication with certain people has become much easier. For example, relatives who live far away. You can FaceTime with them. You can have video chats. So it's not all bad when you're talking about the virtual world versus the physical world. So what makes up the real world? That's kind of an interesting question, because obviously for us, there's more to, as Catholics, we've always known there's more to life than physical reality. There's the life of the spirit. There's the unseen world, the metaphysical world. So I mean, we see this even at a mundane level. If I were to call you on the phone, not a video chat, but if I'm just talking to you and I hear your voice, I know it's you, even though I can't see you, because it's you. I can sense your soul, because your personality, your sense of humor, your intellect, all of that is there. But I think we'd all admit that face-to-face interaction, personal interaction, in-person interaction is still in many ways irreplaceable. There's certain nuance, even if you're having, and I've noticed this even with colleagues through work, that I've had interactions with them on Zoom, but then when you meet them in person, it's completely different. There are little nuances, nonverbal communication, the wholeness of the person is there. It's just a different ball game, isn't it? And certainly when it comes to church, we've had to undergo some virtual church experiences, virtual masses, as it were, during the pandemic. And there are big limitations there, because it's just Catholic worship can't be done properly unless it's in person. There has to be sacramentality, and that involves physical contact. You can't be virtually baptized. You can't have virtual communion. You can't have virtual or at a distance reconciliation or confession. It's got to be in person. So at some level, it's not a bad thing, this sort of interaction between the virtual world and the physical world, but there are limitations to it. But Zuckerberg, of course, wants it to be much more so on the virtual side, especially with Meta that he's building, the metaverse. And he's saying it can be just as personal in the metaverse, maybe more so in different ways. I'm very skeptical about that, and I just have absolutely no desire to do that either. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. So Zuckerberg was talking with Lex Fridman about the one question that he would ask God after death. And I asked you, what do you think about this? We're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to go to Mary Alice, who's calling from Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Mary Alice.
Hi, Cale. I really enjoy your program. You're restoring a lot of things that I have learned a long, long, long time ago in religion classes and whatnot, growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. But anyway, I think I know the answer to this question, but if I were to be able to ask God, why does he bring all of these wonderful people into our lives, like for me, for my parents and my brothers and my sister. I can't get together with any of my brothers and my sister of late because of we're all over the country. Mm-hmm. And my parents are passed away. And I've lost several family members over the past few years, having passed away. But why does God bring all of these wonderful people into our lives only to have them taken away through death? And I know it's one of those very deep philosophical questions, yeah. And I think I know the answer, but I was just tossing that out for your, what do you think?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mary Alice, for the call and for your kind words. I'm very thankful and grateful that the program has been beneficial to you and in your life. And yeah, that is a deep question. Why does God allow the, of course, we all must die. That's part of the package. It's part of the deal. The fact that our lives are finite, just like Friedman was talking to Zuckerberg about, in terms of when the timing that the people are taken from us, you know, one of the things it says about Jesus in the book of Revelation, it says, Jesus says, I hold the keys of death and of Hades. And so I do think, I can't prove this quantitatively by any stretch of the imagination, but I'd like to think that everyone dies at the most optimal time for them, in that no one's going to say on the other side, oh God, you never gave me a fair shot, or you never gave me a chance to get to know you. You're not fair, because every single person has the opportunity to discover God. And even for those who are not online with God, maybe things would be worse for them, even worse, if they hadn't gone at that moment. And it's almost like a flower being plucked at the ripest time. I don't know. I mean, in terms of God's wisdom, a lot of that will have to be left to that. We'll just have to trust him with that. And hopefully we will have answers on the other side as to the timing. Why now, Lord? Why this person? Why at this time? And so a lot of that is the mystery of God's will, and that prayer that we pray in the Divine Mercy Chapel, Jesus, I trust in you. We have to trust all these things to him and be ready ourselves for that moment of stepping beyond the curtain, because we don't know when that might be for ourselves too. So I don't know if that provides any comfort, Mary Alice, but it's certainly a deep question, and it's a question that a lot of people struggle with in these times. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, and yeah, feel free to call back anytime, Mary Alice. Really appreciate you calling from Columbus, Ohio. Well, this conversation between Zuckerberg and Lex Friedman on his podcast also dealt with another deep question that people have. What is the meaning of life? I'm going to tell you what Zuckerberg said, and want to get your take on this right after this break. 1-888-914-9149. That's the number to call. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Be right back. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149 on this Pi Day. Yep, I'll go for any kind of pie, deep dish, Chicago pizza, although they say tavern style is the way to go. That's what the locals tell me. Also, actual pies. You know, I'm a pie man, like Simple Simon. I'll eat anything. And hopefully you're digging what we're serving up on the show today. We were talking about the interview that the CEO of Meta, formerly Facebook, but we know Facebook's still in there, despite the myriad ways he tries to hide it. Mark Zuckerberg gave an interview to Lex Friedman on his very popular podcast, and they got into some pretty deep thoughts towards the end. Here's what Zuckerberg said when he was asked about the meaning of life. Check this out.
Big, ridiculous question. What do you think is the meaning of life?
I think that, well, so, there are probably a couple of different ways that I would go at this. But I think it gets back to this last question that we talked about the duality between you have the people around you who you care the most about, and then there's like this bigger thing that maybe you're building. And I think that in my own life, I mean, I sort of think about this tension, but I mean, it's, look, I mean, I started this whole company and my life's work is around human connection. So I think it's intellectually probably the thing that I go to first is just that human connection is the meaning. And I mean, I think that it's a thing that our society probably systematically undervalues. I mean, I just remember, you know, when I was growing up and in school, you know, it's like, do your homework and then go play with your friends after. And it's like, no, well, what if playing with your friends is the point?
Like, that sounds like an argument your daughters would make.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just like, think it's
homework
interesting.
Homework doesn't even matter, man.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's, you know, I think people tend to think about that stuff as wasting time.
Yeah.
Or that's like what you do in the free time that you have. But like, what if that's actually the point?
Yeah.
So that's one.
Okay, let me just stop it there for 1 second. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. When Mark Zuckerberg answered Les Friedman's question about the meaning of life on his podcast, I just heard a clip from there. There's a pregnant pause there for a while. What he's saying at the end, though, that last little bit about, hey, maybe playing with your friends is the point. You know, many theologians have said that play is the serious business of heaven, which is a whole other interesting topic that we'll have to get into another time. But so he's going to talk about something else in a second. I'm going to play you another clip. But the first thing Zuckerberg says about what is the meaning of life is he says it's about human connection. Now, obviously, that's what he tries to promote in his own way through Facebook and through Meta, the metaverse. That's obviously corporate speak a little bit for him. But there is something to that, though. There is something to that. It is true in one sense. Because what I would say, if I were to be asked, what is the meaning of life? I think it's becoming a saint. This is what St. Paul says time and time again in his letters. To those at Rome, called to be saints. To those at Corinth, called to be saints. This is why we're baptized. We're baptized basically so that we might become holy. We might seek holiness. Really, it's for two reasons, for holiness and apostolate. An apostolate is just a fancy word of saying sharing your faith, evangelism. So we're to become saints, holiness, and help other people to become saints. That's apostolate, that's evangelism, that's sharing your faith. So those are really the two, if you want to boil down the Catholic life into two basic points, that's it. Becoming a saint, helping other people to become a saint. We all want to go to heaven, I presume. Everyone in heaven is a saint. The canonized saints, we just know that they're there. They've given some evidence through miracles that have been wrought through their intercession. So that's what I would say. And we can't become a saint. Zuckerberg's right. We can't become a saint without human connection. He's right about that part. Because we can't become a saint in isolation. A lot of people like to say, oh, I am really loving. But then when they actually get out in the world with other people, they're anything but. They're backbiters. They're gossipers. They're angry. They're bitter. Hey, we have to become a saint, but we can't do it without other people. What did Jesus say? Love one another as I have loved you. Well, you have to practice that with other people. I think it was Dorothy Day who said that you can only claim to love God to the extent that you love your worst enemy. That's very challenging. We have to love our enemies as well. And here's how St. Jose Maria Escrivá put it in his spiritual masterwork called The Way, a series of points. They're kind of spiritual meditations you can think about. Well, in point number 20, he says, you clash with the character of one person or another. It has to be that way. You are not a dollar bill to be liked by everyone. How true that is. And they're just people that we just naturally don't get along with and maybe won't like us, no matter what we do. It could be anything. It usually has nothing to do with us. It might have more to do with them. But It has to be that way. You're not a dollar bill to be liked by everyone. We all love if we find a dollar bill on the ground. Of course, we're going to pick that up. Everybody's happy about that. But not everybody's happy to see you or to see me. And he goes on to say this, San Jose Maria. He says, besides, without those clashes which arise in dealing with your neighbors, how could you ever lose the sharp corners, the edges, the imperfections and defects of your character and acquire the order, the smoothness, and the firm mildness of charity, of perfection? If your character and that of those around you were soft and sweet like marshmallows, you would never become a saint. Okay, that's real talk right there. Real talk. And so the fact that we do come into conflict in interpersonal relations, that should help us to, as he says, lose the sharp corners, lose the edges, lose the imperfections, the defects of our characters, and acquire the order, the smoothness, the mildness of charity, the gentility of charity, if you will. So I think that's an important point, that there is a human connection involved in the meaning of life. But that meaning of life, I would say, has to do with becoming a saint. So I would go much further than what Zuckerberg says here. But let me play the next thing he says to Lex Fridman on the podcast about the meaning of life. Check this out.
Maybe a more like religious in nature. I mean, I always like, there's a rabbi who I've studied with who kind of gave me this, we were talking through Genesis and the Bible and the Torah, and they're basically walking through, it's like, okay, you go through the 7 days of creation and it's basically, it's like, why does the Bible start there? Right. It's like, it could have started anywhere, right. In terms of like how to live. But basically it starts with talking about how God created people in his, her image. But the Bible starts by talking about how God created everything. So I actually think that there's like a compelling argument that I think I've always just found meaningful and inspiring, that a lot of the point of what sort of religion has been telling us that we should do is to create and build things. So these things are not necessarily at odds. I mean, I think probably to some degree you'd expect me to say something like this because I've dedicated my life to creating things that help people connect. So, I mean, that's sort of the fusion of getting back to what we talked about earlier. What I studied in school are psychology and computer science, right? So these are like the two themes that I care about. But I don't know, for me, that's kind of what I think about. That's what matters.
To create and to love, which is the ultimate form of connection.
Okay, so a lot of food for thought there. That was kind of part two of Mark Zuckerberg's answer to the question about what is the meaning of life on the Lex Fridman podcast, where he was a guest. And so he started talking about being essentially co-creators with God. He didn't necessarily use that term, but he talked about creating things that help people connect. He mentioned that in talking with a rabbi, a friend of his, a rabbi, perhaps he's getting some spiritual direction from this rabbi, he noted how Genesis begins with God creating. And that's part of what we have to do. We have to co-create with God, help God to perfect this creation. But it's more than just what Zuckerberg says. Zuckerberg talks about creating things that help people connect. And again, that's more promotion for Meta and for Facebook for sure. That's part of it. But I like the way that Lex Fridman kind of ended off the discussion when he said, just at the end of that clip there, create to love, not just to connect, but create to love. Because really, love is the ultimate form of connection. And that's what everyone is looking for. Everyone is looking for love. They're like that old country music song, looking for love in all the wrong places very often. And whether they're on Facebook looking for love there, I don't know. But this is why God created us, to love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. So what is love? If you, it's not a fuzzy feeling. Love is an action. You know, love is deeds, not sweet words. So what does that really look like? Well, when we look at the wedding vows in the Catholic Church, and I mention this whenever I give a talk on theology of the body, it makes it more concrete for people because there are four questions that are asked of the couple when they're standing before the representative of the church, whether it be a bishop, priest, or deacon. It's the only sacrament that you can confer yourself on. It's the sacrament of marriage. And so the matter of the sacrament, as it were, are the total lives, including the bodies of the husband and the wife, and the form is the words that are said, you know, and it's you've got to have the right answer to the four questions that are asked of you at the altar, or else there's not a valid marriage here. So what are the four questions? Have you come here freely? Or is your mother-in-law making you do this? That's the wrong answer. Have you come here freely to give yourselves without reserve to one another? That's the second question. And it's another way of saying, is your love going to be total? It has to be free. It has to be total. When we look at the answers to these questions, we see what love really is all about. The third question, do you promise to be faithful unto death? And then the last question is, will you accept something as a gift from God? Will you accept children as a gift from God? Almost sounded like Ben Stein on Ferris Bueller's Day Off there for a second. Will you accept something as a gift from God? And that something, of course, is children. And will you raise them according to the laws of Christ and his church? And that's the promise to be fruitful. So free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Those are the four parts of the wedding vows. Well, this is exactly how Jesus Christ loved us, loved his bride, the church. Was his love free? Yes. What's one thing he said in the gospel? No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own free will. It wasn't so much that Judas betrayed him or that the Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross with iron spikes. He could have called down, as he said, 12 legions of angels to defend him. He didn't. He freely laid down his life for his bride. Is his love total? This is my body, which is given for you. He's not holding anything back. He gives himself completely, all of himself. His blood drips into the sand. It's a total sacrifice for the beloved. Is his love faithful? Absolutely. Just like at the end of Matthew's gospel in Matthew 28. I will be with you always, until the very end of the age. Not just sometimes, but always. I'll always be here. And part of how he is here is through the Eucharist in the church. He'll never leave us. And then finally, is his love fruitful? Does it produce life? Well, in John chapter 10, he says, speaking about the devil, he says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. So he wants to give us supernatural life. Obviously, all natural life comes from God, too, but we're born once naturally of our human parents. We're born again. We're supernaturally born again in the womb of the church, which is the baptismal font. Through the waters of baptism, we are born. We're given supernatural life. We become children of God. So that's really what love is all about. Free, total, faithful, and fruitful love. And it's true if you're married or single. You have to live this way. This is how we were created to live in relation with one another. So I thought the podcast was really interesting. I thought as they got into deeper spiritual topics, I'm really glad that Lex Fridman asked Zuckerberg about that. I thought it shed some interesting light on him. And also good food for thought for us on these topics. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. We're going to go to the phones right now. Sarah is calling from San Francisco. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. Do you hear me?
I sure can. Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. I had my phone in my pocket because I was doing work. Anyway, I just want to go beyond what Zuckerberg said. And to me, I wonder, what is the purpose of human existence? Okay, we all love our friends. Most of us love our families. Mm-hmm. But why are human beings even created when there's so much suffering, and even from Christians, suffering, you know? Like, I just don't get it.
Mm. Well, those are deep questions, and people ask those questions every day, especially in light of, you know, there's always suffering going on in the world. We're not always aware of it, like we are through the media with the war in Ukraine. But when it comes to, you know, why were we created, I always go back to the old Baltimore Catechism, which was a really popular catechism before the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The new catechism was promulgated in 1994, but the old Baltimore Catechism had a Q&A format. just like, you know, even today, there's a modern day compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church that is also, it's kind of a summary of the Catechism in Q&A format. But the old Baltimore Catechism used that in question number 6 in the old Baltimore Catechism. It said, why did God make you? And the answer was, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. And I always thought that that's a great answer. Now, people don't always, unfortunately, get to that end because, and this is something that I've been talking about a little bit on the other program that I host on Relevant Radio called The Faith Explained. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer, and that comes on at 12:30 Central. If you want to check that out, you can check out the podcast. But we're going through right now a series on the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And one of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer is, thy will be done. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God's will is always done in heaven, but it's not always done on earth. And the reason is because God gave us free will. Why did he give us free will? Because he didn't want robots. He didn't want pre-programmed creatures that would always do his will. He gave us moral choice. And that's because he can't have a relationship of love without that freedom. It's just as I was talking about a few minutes ago, love must be free. It must be a free choice. So when you give people freedom, there's the chance that they might turn away. And did God know that was going to happen? Yes. Did he have foresight on that? Absolutely. But he basically said, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. That's what I talked about today on the Faith Explained program, that he wants to have a real relationship with us. And so for that to happen, there must be freedom. And sin is what happens when people say no to God. It's what results. And so that's the root of a lot of the suffering that's in the world. I don't know if that helps answer your question, Sarah.
Can I say something else?
Sure.
Okay, so, you know, having freedom. Okay, not everybody has freedom. My father was a Catholic, and he died from alcoholism, ruined his liver, died without supporting me and being my daddy. I never had a daddy, and my mother was an alcoholic. I don't drink, but I'm just saying that I didn't have a free choice to have a good father. You know, I mean, he died. I don't know what kind of father he would have been. He was a Catholic, but he still was an alcoholic. I just don't get it. You know, he went to church, I guess, and everything, but was raised a Catholic by his Catholic parents.
And I am so sorry to hear that, Sarah. And obviously, he made some tragic choices in his life, and those choices obviously affected you, who didn't deserve it. It wasn't your choice. You were innocent and a victim of those consequences. And that's... And there are a lot of people like that. And one thing that I was saying in my, we were talking about the Our Father, is that it's very difficult for some people to even relate to God as Father, because for a lot of people, the word Father has simply meant an absence, an aching absence, or maybe even an abusive presence, unfortunately. So they have a hard time looking at God as Father. And so what we need to do is understand that human fatherhood is based on the fatherhood of God, not the other way around. And so God's fatherhood is always there for you. And so I know it's hard to try to trust again after things like that happen, but God will never let you down. People will always let you down. Religious leaders will often let you down, but God will never let you down. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I promise, Sarah, I will pray for you. And I'm glad that you called in. God bless you. Call in any time. That was Sarah calling in San Francisco. Ask everybody listening to pray for her as well. And I got to take a quick break right now. We're up against it, but I'll be right back with much more after this. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's go really quickly to the phones right now. Paul is calling from Youngstown, Ohio. Hello, Paul. We got about 30 seconds here.
Yes, you had mentioned that marriage is the only sacrament conferred on from one spouse on the other spouse mutually. And I wondered, I can see that, but doesn't it also require the church's recognition or the church's stating that they are married?
Absolutely. And this is one of the reasons why you can't get married on the beach without the church's permission or at your cottage, because this is a public sacrament. And it's God is the one who instituted marriage, not the government. Yes, there is a government piece of paper that needs to be signed as well. But marriage is God's idea. The church is God's institution. And so the norms of the church with respect to marriage have to be respected. So you are right. There is, even though the man and the woman confer the sacrament on one another, that's why it has to be before the church, before one of the recognized ministers of the church, bishop, priest, or deacon. That's all we have time for today on the Cale Clark Show. Thanks for joining me today. Jim Shaper produced. Patrick Aluck took your calls. We'll be back tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.